today's Bible reading is taken from two passages. So Genesis 2, 1 to 3 and Exodus 28 to 11. Genesis 2, 1 to 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy.
Anyway, with the current pandemic, I'm assuming that for most of us, our work's been affected in some way by the need for social distancing and extra hygiene and safety practices, or simply because we, at various times, haven't been allowed to do what we'd normally do. At a time when our work is to some extent up in the air, I believe that looking at the biblical doctrine of the Sabbath can help us stay focused on God and on the work that he'd have us do. The Sabbath tells us important things about work and rest, but today we want to focus on what the Sabbath tells us about God and the implication of that for us in terms of the work that God's called us to do. So the first thing that the Sabbath tells us about God is that God is the creator of the world. And you can go on to the next slide here. Now we can see this through the rationale given in Exodus 20, verse 11, as to why the people of Israel were to keep the Sabbath day. Israel was to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy because, verse 11 says, in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Please notice how this commandment summarizes God's work of creation. Yahweh made sky, land, and sea, and everything in them in the space of 6 days. And on day seven, he rested. This is a summary of what we see in Genesis 1 and the first three verses of Genesis 2. Genesis 1 tells us that God worked over 6 days, creating and shaping and filling the world. And the start of Genesis 2 tells us that on the seventh day, when God had finished his work of creation, he rested. The word translated as rested in Genesis 2, verse 2, is the word Shavat. It's related to the word Sabbath. And basically, Shavat in Hebrew means to cease or to stop what you're doing, to stop work. And according to the account at the beginning of Genesis 2, we see God on the seventh day, after everything had been done in accordance with his will, we see him, in effect, taking off his work gloves, putting down his tools, and enjoying what he's made. Genesis chapter 2, verse 3 tells us that God blessed the seventh day because that was the day when God rested from his work of creation. But the thing is, This blessing of the seventh day, back at the time of the creation of the world by God, was to be reflected in the calendar of the people of Israel through the custom of the Sabbath. So, according to the law of Moses, the people of Israel would work for 6 days, but on the seventh day, the Saturday, they would rest. This day of rest was to remind them that God was the creator of the world. By resting on the seventh day of the week, the Israelites remembered how God had created the world in 6 days, then rested on the seventh day from his work. So, part of the significance of the Sabbath is that it reminds us that God is the creator of the world. But the Sabbath also has other aspects to its significance. The Sabbath also functioned to symbolize for Israel freedom from the work of slavery that they were forced to do by Pharaoh in Egypt before God rescued them back at the time of the Exodus. We can see this especially in the way that the fourth commandment is repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 to 15. But there's an interesting change in the rationale which is given. The commandment in Exodus 20, when Israel was standing at the foot of Mount Sinai, emphasizes the fact that God is the creator. But here in Deuteronomy, after Israel had traveled through the wilderness and had reached the border of the promised land in Canaan, the Sabbath commandment is repeated, but this time with a different emphasis. Israel was to rest from their work on the Sabbath, and according to the wording of Deuteronomy 5, verse 15, as they did this, they were commanded, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and Yahweh your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, Yahweh your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." Can you see the change in the rationale given here? In Exodus 20, the rationale for Israel keeping the Sabbath is the manner in which God created the world. But here in Deuteronomy 5, the rationale is God's rescue of Israel from Egypt. We can see, therefore, that the Sabbath also functioned to remind the people of Israel of how God had liberated them from the work of slavery in Egypt. In fact, the word slavery in the original Hebrew is literally the word for work. By rescuing Israel from Egypt, God had literally saved them from work. God had saved them from their harsh work as slaves of Pharaoh. God had stopped. He had shavat their work of slavery. And in this context, the Sabbath day also functions as a symbol of freedom. It's a symbol of the stopping of slavery, a symbol of liberation. It reminds us that God is the Savior, the one who liberates his people from slavery to sin and death. But there's also a third aspect to the Sabbath that would have been evident to the people of Israel. Turning back to the rationale for the fourth commandment as given in Exodus 20, notice how the pattern of 6 days' work followed by a day of rest for Israel was meant to reflect God's pattern of work and rest at the time of the creation of the world. Because God had worked for 6 days, then rested on the seventh day, Israel was to mimic this. And friends, this analogy between God's work and rest And Israel's work and rest is very significant. You see, by telling the people of Israel that they were to pattern their work and rest on how God had done things back at the time of creation, an important principle is established. That principle is, we humans have been created to pattern our work on God's work. Our work is supposed to be an analog of God's work. That's part of what it means to be created in God's image, that when we work, we're supposed to reflect God's way of doing things in the things that we do. But what is it that we're supposed to be doing? People have questions about this, don't they? But do you remember the creation mandate back in Genesis 1? What was the work that God gave the human race to do? After God created humanity, male and female, what did God say? The creation mandate occurs in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And this verse gives us the basic job description that God has assigned to the human race. After creating humanity, God said, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Here we have our basic job description. God wants the human race to be fruitful by having babies, basically. But this is with a view to increasing the human population in order to fill the earth. But for what purpose? The verse tells us that it's for the purpose of subduing the earth. The Hebrew word translated here as subdue implies treading over the earth and conquering it. The idea is that we subdue the earth by ruling over the world that God has created. In sum, the basic job that God has given us to do is to increase the human population so that we might be able to extend human rule throughout the world. But keep in mind here how we're supposed to be doing this work. What have we just said about the principle of the Sabbath day? Our work is to model God's work. Created in the image of God, our work is supposed to be analogous to God's work. We're meant to be imitating God himself as we work. This means that fulfilling our job description requires that we model ourselves on God as we go about the task of increasing the human population and ruling the world. But what specifically does modeling ourselves on God look like? Well, one of the purposes of Genesis 1 is to show us how God works. Do you remember how God created the world? God used his word to create light, order, and life. In the midst of darkness, God said, "Let there be light." In the midst of formlessness and disorder, God said, "Let there be order." In the midst of the emptiness and the absence of life, God said, "Let there be life." In Genesis 1, we see God using his word to bring into existence light, order, and life. And friends, this is the model that we are supposed to be following. Our job is to extend God's rule over the world as we take the light and life of God's word out into creation. Our job is to use the word of God to build the kingdom of God throughout the earth, to take the light and order and life that comes from God's word out into the world in everything that we do. We're to pattern our work on God's work of creation. Overall, we've seen today that the Sabbath tells us three important things about God. Firstly, God is the creator. Secondly, God is the liberator. He's the savior who frees us from slavery. And thirdly, God is the exemplar or model whose pattern of work is to be our pattern of work. Friends, our job is to use God's word to create life and to build his kingdom on earth in everything that we do. And no pandemic can stop this, really. The pandemic obviously creates challenges for our work and for our church, but God is the God who uses his word to bring light in the midst of darkness, order in the midst of disorder, and life in the midst of death. And with the pandemic, I think we can say that the world has become darker, more chaotic, and more deadly. Would you agree with me there? How much more then, at this moment of time, does our world need the word of God that brings light, order, and life? God is creator, liberator, exemplar. Our work is to know him and to model our work on his work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that today we've had the opportunity just to look a little bit at the significance of the Sabbath, what it says about you, and the implications of that for our work. Lord, we acknowledge to you that our work individually has been affected by this pandemic. The work of our church has also been greatly affected. But we thank you that we can look back and see that when you created the world in the midst of darkness, disorder, and the absence of life, you used your word to overcome those challenges. And Lord, the Sabbath commandment taught Israel the principle which still applies to us, that our work is to be modeled on your work. If, Lord, through your word, you have acted in the world to bring light, order, and life, then we can see quite clearly what our task is right now. And so, Lord, I pray for each one of us who are members of Horsley Park Christian Church, that you would help each one of us to think about how we can, through our daily lives, through our work and everything we do, how we can shine the light and give forth the life that comes from your word. We thank you for being creator, liberator, and exemplar. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to encourage us to know you better and to model our work on your work. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, Q&A time. Ooh-wee, we got a lot coming in on Padlet, so hope you're ready, Rev Steve. So our first, I think I'll wait for Nell to bring it up. Great. We'll start from the bottom now. First question comes in, says, what does it mean to not work and what counts as work?
Okay, so I'm assuming that's in relation to what does it mean to not work. So in other words, it's really asking what does it mean to rest, yeah? And what counts as work. On one definition, work is anything that you do, okay? So when you rest, when you sleep, you could still sort of say, well, that's something I'm doing. So there's an element in which we can never escape work. While we're alive, we're always doing something, even if we're resting. But obviously the idea for Israel was they view themselves as going about their normal activities for 6 days of the week. So they'd be going out to the fields or whatever it may be. And then on the seventh day, in order to remember God as creator, in order to remember God as liberator, how he had saved them from Egypt, they rested on the seventh day. So you can see, obviously, there needs to be some kind of difference at that point. So the idea for Israel was that they were not meant to do their normal work that they do, their normal daily work. So there's some difference there in which they rest up and take it easy, I guess you could say, and kind of veg around a little bit, but it wasn't just to veg around and do nothing. Sure, it was a time for their bodies to recuperate after doing what they had done for the previous 6 days. But I think also think about what the significance of the Sabbath is that we've talked about today. God as creator, liberator, exemplar, all right? So if that's the significance of the Sabbath, they're meant to be thinking about those things, I would say, on the Sabbath day. How God is the creator, how God was their savior, and what is their response meant to be as human beings created in the image of God with the task of extending God's kingdom throughout the world. They're meant to be reflecting on these things. So hopefully that answers the question a little bit there.
Sure. Yeah, great. What would happen, next question, what would happen if a Jew does end up working on the Sabbath?
Well, there were severe penalties, actually. The death penalty is talked about, so it was quite severe, yeah. Often it wasn't implemented, but this was a very important commandment.
Cool. All right. We might come back to that next one and just do a couple up ahead since they relate to that. So we might get you to answer two questions together. Do we need to keep the Sabbath now? And what are your thoughts on Christians working on a Sunday? Might do those two.
Okay.
Together.
Well, you'll notice that today's sermon actually said the significance of the Sabbath for work, which does imply there was going to be a follow-up, or there at least there was a follow-up planned sometime down the track about the significance of the Sabbath for rest. Okay. So when we look at that issue, we'll be able to think about the issue of the Sabbath. Does it apply to Christians today? There are various opinions out there. In summary, I guess I could say there are some people who think, oh, it should be the seventh day, which is the Saturday. That's a minority view. The majority view would probably be that the seventh day Sabbath for Israel has become a first day Sabbath for us as Christians, and that's a quite common view. My view would be a little bit different at that point, and my view would be that in Jesus, the eternal Sabbath has actually commenced. So in a sense, we still keep the Sabbath, but how do we keep the Sabbath? It's not a literal keeping of a particular day. That's not to say that we shouldn't be in the habit of meeting together regularly as Christians, and in fact, the early church chose the first day of the week to symbolize the beginning of new life, Jesus' resurrection. But the idea is we actually keep the Sabbath now through Jesus. Jesus has entered into the presence of God. He's entered into the eternal Sabbath rest. And through faith in him, we are keeping the Sabbath. So that's my view. The implications of that for rest is something that I'd like to explore with you a bit in more detail later on. But what was the second part of that question? Was it
what are your thoughts on Christians working on Sunday?
Yes, well, basically I'd say if it's getting in the way of regular meeting together with Christians, then there's an issue there. But I am not of the view that the Sunday is like a Christian Sabbath. I think that's a misunderstanding of what's happening in the scriptures, that actually Jesus, in a way, when he said it is finished, he's saying the Sabbath has commenced. When he was dying on the cross there, we have entered into the eternal Sabbath rest. And this is something I think that the Apostle Paul picks up on. Colossians 2, he talks about the Jewish festivals, new moon festivals, Sabbaths. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. So in other words, what he's saying is these religious festivals of Israel, they were just pictures of the reality which would come with Christ. So the Sabbath is a kind of picture that was fulfilled in Jesus, and the full substance of the Sabbath now comes about through Jesus. That's something I'd definitely like to explore with you all further down the track, because it's helpful to think about.
Great. Hope that answers that question for that person. We'll go back down now to that third question. Is it bad not working and getting government payout instead?
Well, the scriptures do have a principle of being able to work with our hands to support ourselves so as not to be a burden to others. Okay, so if you want to look up that one, it's 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11, where we're told that each individual, as they grow up, as they have ability, that we should be, in a sense, as self-sufficient as we possibly can be. That's with a view to not being a burden on other people, and also being able to, out of any blessing we receive from God financially or whatever it may be, to be able to help other people to contribute to a better world. So I think there's a basic principle there that if you can, then you should be working and earning your own wage, okay? But we also know we live in society here in Australia where there are particular government policies. If you're unemployed or whatever it may be, if you have a disability, these things are, in a sense, blessings of society that are there to be used, then I can't see any problem with using those things, just so long as those things don't get in the way of you doing what you can to also support yourself, support your family, and not to be a burden on society.
Great. Thanks for that. That's a very clear answer. Our last question for now, it seems, what will work and rest look like in heaven?
Yeah, good question, this one. Actually, I think we get a bit of an idea of what it will be like if we go back to the situation of Adam in the Garden of Eden, because it's interesting. Adam was placed to rest in the Garden of Eden. That's the actual word that's used. There's a rest word being used there in Genesis 2. But we also know that rest being placed in the garden there comprised work as well. So what we see for Adam is that, in a sense, his work and his rest are the same thing. So I'm assuming that in heaven we'll have things to do, but we'll be doing those things as part of the eternal Sabbath rest. So in a sense, the work is no longer going to be harsh or akin to some kind of slavery or something that makes us tired. It's actually something that we're going to be doing and enjoying. So in the end, work and rest become the same thing in heaven. Yeah.
So like your hobbies are your work.
Well, think about it. When we rest up, we do something different, right? You might chill out in front of the TV or whatever it may be. You've got your hobby that you like doing. You're actually doing something there. So you're not really resting. You're just doing something different, but you're doing something that you enjoy and something that in some ways brings a bit of sense of relief or energy to you. So in the eternal state, the Bible does talk about how we still work in a way. There are particular responsibilities, and I think a lot of that will be just getting to know God's people. You know, think about it. How many millions of people are going to be there? Lots of people we don't know, people like Moses, Elijah, whoever it may be. Well, we're going to be, in a sense, traveling the world and getting to know people. And as we go, sharing the light of God's word with one another and rejoicing in all of that. So heaven's not just like hanging about, not doing anything. I think there's work to be done, just like Adam in the Garden of Eden, but it's actually a joy to do that work because work and rest have merged together. They've become the same thing.
Great. What an interesting time. Comment, very interesting, Steve. Someone likes your text, very good.
But yeah, down the track, if I get an opportunity, we'll share a little bit more about the implications of the Sabbath for rest. And so some of those questions about, okay, how does the Sabbath apply to us today as Christians? We'll be able to talk about that then. Today we've looked at, okay, what does the Sabbath really say to us about God? God is creator, liberator, and exemplar.